Welcome to the Pinnacle Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Randall Langley, president of Christian Life School of Theology Global. The opportunity to share biblical wisdom with kingdom-minded leaders in the areas of lordship, leadership, and lifestyle led me to start this show. My desire is that through this podcast, you'll be equipped with relevant tools to maximize your leadership potential and reach the pinnacle of your calling. You'll hear from myself and many other successful leaders who are recognized experts on these topics and many others. We hope you enjoy this show. All right, my friends. Well, I am super excited today to have the founder and the executive director of Big Fish Ministries. His name is Isaac Stooksbury, and we're going to talk about how we can help people who are struggling with addiction and other life-controlling issues. You know, my team put together some statistics that I found very interesting. According to some numbers released by the CDC, the U.S. overdose deaths hit an all-time record in 2020, killing over 93,000 people. That's pretty revealing. They said that's a 30% increase from 2019. Experts attribute this sharp increase to the isolation, job loss, and death of loved ones resulting from COVID-19. So the question, and a lot of our discussion today, is how do we, as Christian leaders, how do we help push back and combat this growing epidemic? So Isaac is going to help us kind of guide our discussion today. This Big Fish Ministries, some of our listeners, you already know of Big Fish Ministries. They've had a tremendous impact in our region along the Alabama Gulf Coast. Big Fish Ministries offers long-term men's and women's recovery programs and outpatient services. And they've just helped, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people to find healing and restoration and to begin rebuilding their lives. So, Isaac, I'm excited to have you on our podcast today. Why don't you just take a minute and introduce yourself?
Yes, sir. Well, as Dr. Langley said, my name is Isaac Stooksbury. I'm the executive director of Big Fish Ministries and the founder. We actually founded Big Fish Ministries in 2014, took our first students in 2016. But prior to that, I worked in recovery ministry for about 10 years up in the Anniston area. And I myself am a former addict. The Lord delivered me from addiction when I was 23 years old, which is about 18 years ago now. So that's my background. I really come from a place of just loving the ones that are where I used to be, you know, of just having a heart for, you know, as God called Moses to go back to Egypt, you know, is kind of the way I feel that, you know, I found hope in Christ that I didn't know existed when I was deep in my addiction. And just feel, you know, compelled to reach back into that same darkness and just cry out that there is hope in Jesus.
You know, Isaac, that is what we see a lot, I think, of people in ministry. God in his goodness and his grace does a work of transformation in the hearts and lives of people who have, you know, it can be any number of issues, and they find healing. And then out of that compassion towards that demographic, that group of people, they then become powerful instruments that God can use to go and be effective in those ministries. So it's great to hear a little bit about your testimony. So what you're saying is you're serving out of a passion rather than a job, right?
Yes, sir. Definitely. I love what I do. I love to, you know, when you see someone that feels hopeless, because, you know, I mean, I think that that's one of the main roots of people that find themselves in the depths of addiction. They come to a point to where they're hopeless and they don't see a way out. And to just be able to share that there is hope and be able to testify to them that, you know, I was once there myself, you know, it can be very powerful. And it's my favorite thing. I know any minister to lead someone to the Lord, to lead someone from a place of darkness to a place of light, it's just the most rewarding thing that we could ever do.
Yeah. Just speak for a minute, for those who are not specifically aware of Big Fish Ministries, talk a minute about how your ministry has responded to the this growing need for these, what we'll just call them, Christ-centered recovery type ministries and services?
Yes, sir. So in 2016, we were able to get our first building, and we first started just taking men into the program. We got a building that we were planning to house about four men in. We ended up with 10 men in the house because the need is so great. Just trying to meet that growing need, we ended up acquiring another piece of property in Foley to expand our men's ministry. And at that point, we were able to house about 20 men. In 2018, we acquired another property, moved the men over to that property, remodeled the property where the men were, and were able to start a women's recovery ministry there. And since then, we've actually added two transitional houses, one for the men and one for the women also. We've added outpatient services. We've got family support groups and a community support group also that we do here in the community.
That's fantastic. I mean, God's obviously had his hand upon this ministry. And I can just tell just by listening to you how humble and grateful you are for the things that God has done. You know, Isaac, the Bible talks so much about freedom. And, you can't read the word without seeing the scriptures, freedom in Christ, that old things are passed away, old things have become new. Now, he who the Son sets free is free indeed, and many, many more. How can the people listening today who are believers, they might not necessarily be the heads of ministries, but they're on mission. They feel like their life matters. And what are some practical ways that they can get involved in helping people who have addictions, either in support or leadership? What are some practical ways that they can get involved?
I think, the first thing that comes to mind is to just really show the love of Christ to people that are in addiction. You know, a lot of times people in addiction, you know, they feel like they're marginalized. They feel like maybe they wouldn't be accepted by the church or church people. And, I think that us just showing an acceptance and a love of those people to just say, you know, hey, you know, what you've done is no worse than what I've done. You know, that what sin is sin. We all have one thing in common. We're born into this earth with a nature to sin. And, you know, and I think that just the camaraderie that we can build in that, I think that also, you know, getting involved in, you know, if your church has a small group that that helps people in recovery, similar to a Celebrate Recovery group or a community support group. There's also, you know, ways that you could get involved and volunteer, you know, if there is, some recovery ministries in your area. And I would say, you know, that we need to be able to, you know, identify the resources that are available, because I think, I personally think that addiction is the plague of our time. I really do. I think it's like you said with those statistics, most people don't realize how many people addiction kills every year. And that's just the people that are actually overdosing. That's not even talking about the amount of people going to prison, the broken lives, the broken families, the divorces it causes, and all those different things. So I think that as a church and as missional believers, you know, that we need to be able to know what resources are available for someone that's looking for recovery, and be able to kind of answer the question, you know, I'm an addict, can you help me? You know, and I think the way that we can do that is, like I said, to be aware of what resources are available. And at times, if a resource isn't available, to pray about, you know, whether or not the Lord would have you to bring awareness, to start bringing awareness that the need is there, and try to get some resources in your area if you don't have any.
Yeah, that's good. You know, we were talking a little bit before we started our recording that crisis doesn't usually create the problem. Sometimes it reveals the underlying problem that was already there. It kind of accelerates what was already broken, what was already there. And certainly this pandemic has, I think a lot of people have blamed addiction and these life controlling issues on the pandemic. But what we would say is it's exacerbated the issue. It's created more momentum, but it's really kind of blown the lid off and just uncovered what was already there. So the need is there. That goes without saying. And then you mentioned, you know, it can be intimidating for people. Where do I go? Where do I start? Hey, okay, we don't have a local resource, but I feel like God wants to use me in this capacity. Kind of lay out maybe just a, I know it's, you know, you can't craft a detailed plan, but what would be some practical steps to actually starting some type of recovery ministry? A leader wants to start a recovery ministry. What would you recommend?
I would probably recommend first meeting with your pastor. You know, meet with your pastor, or if you are a pastor, you know, to even incorporate other churches. I know sometimes, you know, we have a hard time doing that, reaching across those lines with other churches in our community. But this is one of those things that to me is just like feeding the hungry. You know, we can't agree on everything, but we can agree that we need to feed the hungry. We can't agree on everything, but we can agree that, you know, the addict needs hope. You know, so I think that, you know, maybe meeting with those in leadership and to start to gather some resources. I, for one, would be open to anybody contacting me. And I would be glad to share, you know, my experiences in recovery ministry, my experience with things that have worked and things that haven't worked. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, when I first moved to South Baldwin County, before we had our first building, I was leading a Celebrate Recovery group at a local church, you know, and just reaching out and, you know, trying to be intentional to, you know, look for people that looked like that, you know, that they could be struggling with addiction, you know, to just on purpose try to reach out to them.
Well, what does leading somebody through recovery look like? You've mentioned a couple of times Celebrate Recovery. I think that's a popular one. Another one that in the last few years has gained a lot of traction, although not specifically geared toward addiction, is called Freedom. A lot of churches have used the Freedom curriculum. And I think that probably emphasizes a little more along the lines of soul, spirit, mm-hmm. freedom, as yes, opposed sir. To the addictive side. There are some very real. What does recovery look like? What does leading someone through specifically these life controlling issues? What does that look like?
Well, you know, the thing about leading somebody through recovery, I would say it's very similar to leading anyone out of a sinful lifestyle into a lifestyle of discipleship. You know, that's what our goal is at Big Fish Ministries, you know, and most Christ-centered, all Christ-centered recovery ministries, if they're Christ-centered, would be to lead someone to a relationship with Jesus and then begin to disciple them. And the things that you mentioned, even the Freedom curriculum, you know, it does kind of take maybe not a super deep dive, but kind of a dive into our sin nature, you know, what's caused us to do this. You know, I believe that addiction is a symptom of a deeper problem. You know, that problem could be created by neglect. It could be created by abuse. It could be created by shame, guilt. It could be created by many different things. But I think at the end of the day, that someone that's deep in addiction has found themselves at a point of hopelessness. And I know I mentioned that before, but I think it's just really, you know, maybe can help us as Christian leaders to not be so intimidated by it, to realize that this is a person that's hopeless is what it comes down to. You know, they may be manifesting that by using heroin, drinking alcohol every day, maybe even stealing my lawnmower out of my backyard. Because what they found in addiction, what they find is they find a release from that deep darkness that they feel inside of them. And they know it's a temporary release. They know that they're going to have to go out and get it again. You know, it's like the proverb that says, you know, I woke up red faced and beaten, and I'm going to get up and go back after it again. You know, talking about drinking wine and drinking too much, but it's relevant to all addictions is, you know, it's a person that's hopeless. And we know the answer for that, right? If that's the question is, What can I do for somebody hopeless? Well, all for Jesus, right? Jesus is hope for the hopeless. But I would say that to walk all the way through recovery, you know, is a really a balance of accountability and grace. There has to be accountability. But, you know, we know we've got to stop doing these things. And for most in addiction, they already know the things they need to stop doing. It's pretty obvious, you know.
Yeah.
But then as they peel off that layer and maybe stay clean for, you know, that those first 2 weeks or 30 days, then they start to realize that the person in the mirror that's looking back at them has got some ugly issues, you know, and that's where, you know, a lot of times they're not willing to deal with that, and they'll run away. you know, but when they are willing to deal with it, you know, it's keeping on digging through those things, keeping on loving them through those things, and showing that acceptance and grace that Jesus has preached to us over and over again.
Yeah. A number of years ago, my wife and I, we actually, God used us to pioneer a church, start a church in the inner city of Tacoma, Washington. And that word hopelessness became very up close and in our face. And that's what we discovered. It was a very drug infested community, a lot of crack cocaine and just a heroin. And we actually had one young girl come and live with us for a while. Her mom was a heroin addict. And if there was one thing that we could define, it was, like you said, hopelessness. And when people become hopeless, they'll do all kinds of crazy things. And and it's hard to, you can't rationalize that, what hopelessness does to people. But we are instruments of hope. We are, we're hope peddlers, not dope peddlers, right? And I tell you what, when people get infused again with a spirit of hope, it's amazing how that transformation process can really, really take root in and through their lives. You know, how can people who aren't working in an official capacity at the church, you know, combat addiction in their communities? You mentioned a couple things like, well, get involved, you know, with these organized. And there may be some of our listeners who aren't as fully aware of even Big Fish Ministries. And you said you'd be willing to have a discussion or offer some resources to that. How could people get connected with Big Fish Ministries specifically?
Well, they could email me at isaac@bigfishministries.org. They can find us on social media. They can go to our website, which is bigfishministries.org, and find out a lot more information about Big Fish Ministries. But, you know, we're actually working on being able to really nail down the system that we've used, because we really feel like it works really, really well. Mm-hmm. And to be able to even, you know, walk churches through how to start a recovery program that can not be a drain on the church. One of the big ways that we do that at Big Fish is through our thrift store. You know, yeah, so when you talk about people being able to support the ministry, an easy way to support the ministry is to give and shop at the thrift stores. A lot of recovery ministries use that system, you know, because it's a system, because you're helping people who can't pay you for the service you're providing them, right? The people in addiction, they can't pay you for the service you're providing them. So you have to be creative to be able to do that, unless you've got, like, you know, some big backers or maybe a big church that's backing you. But that's one way that they could get involved. But another way is, you know, to look for those recovery ministries that are in your area, you know, and to be able to kind of come and support those, whether that's volunteering and, of course, through prayer. You know, we all need prayer. You know?
Yeah. You know, you said something that I want to come back to. You mentioned the word discipleship. It's not enough for us to get people just free from the addiction. There's secular programs that focus on that, because there can be a very physical, chemical connection to that needs to be addressed appropriately, right? But we're looking for transformation. We're not looking for people to suppress things. We're looking for people to get free from things to embrace the supernatural transforming work that only Christ can do in and through their life. That's the essence of it. And so once they get to that point, becoming a fully devoted disciple becomes the emphasis, right?
Yes, sir.
Not just getting free, but where I've been and where I'm at now, but where I'm headed.
Yes,
and
sir.
Of course, that's what we do at CLST Global, is we are very passionate about providing education and resources so people can grow and maximize their purpose and calling. And we've seen a lot of people come out of recovery programs, start taking Bible college classes, learn the rudiments, the fundamentals of faith, and then take specialized courses in areas so that they can do just what you did, circle back around and become instruments of healing and hope in maybe unofficial ways, or start an official ministry in that way. So I'm happy to hear about the discipleship side of what you do, not just the recovery, but what recovery actually means. It's it doesn't stop there. And we're all right in process. Right. We're all becoming disciples or lifelong learners. We don't stop. Right. And continually experiencing the grace of God. No big I's and little U's. We're all, you know, in need of the supernatural grace of God. So we're very thankful for what you do. It's encouraging to see the faces of men and women like yourself that have been there and have experienced this freedom that God has brought. And now you're being used in a very strategic and life-giving way to bring freedom and wholeness to other people. As we bring this to a close, Isaac, we might have to have you back on to do this again, go a little bit deeper in some areas. But I know that there's people listening today who are probably hurting, without a doubt. And you know, our desire is to be an encouragement to them, to create a pathway toward hope, right? And so I like to ask our guests to pray. And if you wouldn't mind, as we wrap this up today, just pray a prayer out over our listeners for healing, for freedom, whatever God lays on your heart. Just bless our listeners today. Would you be willing to do that?
Yes, sir. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Lord God, I just lift up every person that's listening to this today, Father God. Lord, I just lift up everyone, Father God. Lord, we know that you are hope for the hopeless, Lord. Lord, and I just reach out right now through prayer, Lord God, to that one that's hurting right now, Father God, to that one that's hopeless right now, Lord, to that one that does not have the answer to the problem in front of them right now, Father God. And I just speak the name of Jesus over that situation. And I just declare that Jesus is the answer. Lord God, we thank you, Father God, that you are the answer to every question. You are hope to the hopeless, Lord. Yes. Lord, I pray in your grace, Lord, and in your mercy, Father God. Lord God, that you would provide laborers to the harvest, Father God, for those that are hurting, Father God. Maybe some listening right now are those very laborers that you're calling, Father God. And maybe some right now need that laborer to come to them, Father. And Lord God, I pray for both of them right now, Father God. I pray for the laborer, Lord, and I pray for the one in need of help right now, Father. Lord God, that the laborer and the one in need, Father God, would meet, Lord God, and your glorious hope, yes, Lord, would shine upon them, Lord. Lord, and I just pray all these things in Jesus' name, Lord God. I just thank you for this day, Lord God. I thank you that this day represents another day of hope, Lord God. And I just declare that there's no situation that's too hopeless, Lord God, or that there's nothing that you can't do, Lord God, that we can't go so far, that your grace can't reach us, Lord God. And Lord, I just thank you for that right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes. Yes. Isaac, thanks so much again. People can reach you through Isaac@bigfishministries.org or your website, bigfishministries.org.
Yes, sir.
And of course, our listeners know that if you want to invest in your own personal growth and development and take some world-class Bible college courses, you can visit us at clstglobal.org. Isaac, bless you, my friend. And until next time, we will encourage our listeners to keep pressing on, reach the pinnacle of your calling. God bless, my friends.
Thanks for listening to the Pinnacle Leaders Podcast. This show can be found on Apple Podcasts, cpnshows.com, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you have suggestions for this show, we'd love to know what you think. Visit www.randalllangley.com to share your thoughts or connect with me on social media. You can also find other resources and interviews with my previous guests on my website, Facebook, and Instagram. We exist to serve kingdom-minded leaders like you. Grace and peace, my friends.